Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Prepare yourself for nonstop hilarity. The funniest 15 minutes of your life or any other. Senator Obama, the microphone is all yours.
Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth.
That's the immediate cry of the gospel, not who's married to whom, or who is adopting children and who shouldn't, who is serving as a bishop in the church.
I don't know, we've become experts on a whole number of things, haven't we? Especially in the church. We've learned our lessons from the culture about how to communicate. Television, movies, pop culture have taught us more about how to communicate with people these days. I don't know if Jesus would fit in nowadays. In the communication culture, the expertise that the church has built up over all these years for itself, especially here in America, Jesus was rather obscure. He spoke in the language of Scripture. He spoke sometimes in obscure language itself, telling stories that apparently had very little meaning to those who weren't on the inside. What was he doing telling parables? We're going to be talking about the parables of Jesus. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Wednesday, October the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for joining us. You can join us by phone as well, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. After a half hour's conversation with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, we'll play some of your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Then, let's see, second hour of the program, Dr. Nathan Jastrom will be our guest. Does it matter if you believe in evolution? I mean, what difference does it make? Creation, evolution. A lot of Christians believe in evolution, or they say they do. Do you think they've thought it through? In the last half hour of the program, last few minutes of the program, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us. We'll be talking with him about, well, we've talked about the existence of God, we've talked about miracles, and another common objection raised by unbelievers to Christianity is that it's too narrow. After all, when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me," he could not have possibly meant that, right? We'll answer that objection with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery in the last part of the program today. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled "The Language of Parables, Why Jesus." Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be back with you. It always is.
How do you think Jesus would fare among the communication, quote-unquote, experts that seem to be everywhere in the church today?
Well, what these experts tell you that really that you have to be immediately accessible. I mean, whatever you're saying, it just has to be, you have to be able to take it at first glance. And I mean, we live in a world of sound bites like this. I mean, especially in election cycles, when we need to be hearing about serious issues, but everything seems to be boiled down to sound bites, so they can be, so they can make the news, or they can make Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, one or the other. But the parables are not, they don't have this characteristic of immediate accessibility. In fact, they're often cloudy and quite dark, especially for those who aren't initiated in it. And so I don't think that Jesus would have done too well if he would have been taking those public speaking 101 classes. He might have had some trouble here.
The parables are not user-friendly. In fact, there's a passage, I believe, where when asked why he speaks in figures of speech and parables, Jesus says, well, I want those who hear and understand to hear and understand, and I want those who hear and don't understand to hear and not understand. What's Jesus up to?
Yeah, that's in Matthew 13 at least. We find it there. And Matthew 13 is this big kingdom parable text. There's seven of these kingdom parables here. And the disciples have noticed that Jesus has changed the way he's teaching. I mean, he goes along and he doesn't start in parables. I mean, he doesn't teach in parables all along. But as he goes throughout his ministry, there's this kind of widening gulf between those who believe him and follow him and those who hate him and are trying to destroy him. And it reaches a point to where Jesus is now going to begin teaching to the insiders. He's going to begin teaching to those people who believe and trust in him. They're given more, and to those people who don't believe and trust in him, everything that they have is taken away. And that's what happens. The disciples ask, why are you teaching in parables? This is Matthew 13:10, and he gives them that answer. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So the parables come in, and they bring division between those who trust in Christ and those who don't.
So this explains why, and you could probably speak from your own experience in pop American evangelicalism, Brian, this explains why when the parables are preached by the church today, more often than not, they're not framed as kingdom language, salvation language, but say, for instance, the parable of the talents becomes about good money management and sound Christian investment.
Yeah.
That's accessible.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's kind of practical advice stuff. You always hear people saying Jesus speaks in kind of earthy language, that the parables are earthy language, and that's true to a point. I mean, everyone knows what a talent is. I mean, well, everyone did back then. I mean, everyone knows what a dollar is. Everyone knows what a seed is, what a farmer is, and all this sort of stuff. But there's always something a little bit off in the parables. I mean, a little bit goofy. Someone acting not normal. So this is not normal. This is not just a normal way to live a good life. I mean, that's not what Jesus is teaching about. For example, you don't take the parable of the sower and see there some sort of instructions on how to have a great farm. I mean, it's actually bad farming advice. The last thing you would want to see is a farmer out plowing on the interstate. But that's exactly what this farmer's doing. He's throwing his seed on the path and in the weeds and in the rocks and all of this sort of stuff. The farmer isn't acting like a good farmer, but he is acting like a good Messiah who has his word spread throughout all the world. And so it's not just advice on good living that Jesus is giving. He's giving insight into the kingdom of God, into the church, into the realm of his gospel, which is different than the kingdom of this earth. I mean, you're right. A lot of evangelicals could take the parables and instead of saying the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus might as well be saying the kingdom of earth is like. But then you miss the point totally.
So what is the point? What is the purpose of all of this kingdom language, as you call it?
Well, the kingdom is nothing more than where Jesus is ruling with his merciful word. It's, in other words, it's the church. It's where the forgiveness of sins has its sway. And so when Jesus comes, he's teaching us what it is like to be under his rule, which is to be under his forgiveness, under his name, under his word. And so he has to teach us that. He teaches us how we come into the kingdom, how we live in the kingdom, and how the kingdom will come in its fullness at the end of time. He's teaching us all of these different things in the different parables that he teaches.
You write, the parables are for Christians, and that is not going to be a popular thing or conclusion to draw in an age where the church has decided that we need to blur the distinction between believers and unbelievers. We put them all on a continuum, don't you know now? I mean, you might have your Christians at one end and your unbelievers at the other, although those terms are not going to be used very much. But there's going to be people all along the spectrum. Some of them are seekers and some of them are the interested or the inquirers. It sounds as though you have to make a distinction between believers and unbelievers a sharp one to understand the parables.
Yeah, the parables, I mean, they really, in fact, the parables themselves, Jesus uses to knock people off the fence. I mean, he's going to say, you're going to stick with the wisdom of the world, or you are going to come over to the foolishness of the cross. These are your only two choices. Jesus says this about himself. I came not to bring peace, but a sword to divide, divide families, divide people one from another. And so he comes with his word, which brings division. And so it's true. Look, you can't. Maybe if we talk about, for example, the Our Father. The Our Father is not just a prayer given for anyone. It's a prayer for the baptized who have God as their Father. If we don't have God as our Father, we can't call on Him as our Father. We have a different Father. We can't beg that His name would be holy among us because He hasn't given His name to us. And we can't ask that His kingdom would come if we're not the citizens of the kingdom. And the parables are the same way. They're for the citizens. They're for the people who belong to this kingdom. And that's who Jesus is talking to and giving His gifts to.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're talking about the parables of Jesus. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio show called Table Talk, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled The Language of the Parables, Why Jesus? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or our in-studio email address this Wednesday, the 22nd of October, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. 10 more minutes with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the other side of this break. Then we're going to hear some of your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. When we come back, we've talked about how the parables are often misinterpreted to be good advice on how to balance your checkbook or how to manage your money. It is interesting, as Brian points out, I've never heard anyone try to make the case that the parable of the sower is about how to grow a good garden. But you'll hear people say, well, the prodigal son, that's about the father-son relationship. Good parenting. When we come back, why are they always so terribly misinterpreted, the parables? We'll be right back. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Julie Stiegemeyer, Rick Bourne, Mary Hari, Gerald Roberts, Ernie and Dottie Johnson, Diane Luttman, Ronald Horstman, Melanie Summerer, and Karen Hedesheimer. Thanks for your support. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Pastor's Roundtable on the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Biggest question that people ask about this probably has to do with, what is adultery? How far can I go? When have I crossed the line? It's one of the questions we'll answer. Tomorrow on the Pastor's Roundtable, our guest, Pastor Bart Day of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, Pastor Mike Kettner of Christ Lutheran Church in Jacob, Illinois, and Pastor Gary McCracken of Trinity Lutheran Church in Troy, Missouri. Tomorrow on the program, we're talking about the parables of Jesus with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Brian, you mentioned some misinterpretations of the parables, some big ones. First of all, why do you think it is that, especially among Christians, these parables are so grossly misinterpreted and not understood at all?
I think, let me try this. I think it's because we want God to have dignity. We want him to act respectably. We don't want the shame of the cross. And so many of the parables bring us this shame that we don't really want it. We want the parables to reflect the wisdom of the world rather than the foolishness of the cross. And so we rework them as if everything happening in the parables is normal. But it's not. We just had the parable of the unmerciful servant, you know, where this guy goes and he owes $1 billion to the king, and the king just wipes out his debt. And you cannot understand that parable if you think that for the king to wipe out the debt is just kind of a magnanimous and good thing to do. It's a crazy thing to do. I mean, imagine, you know, this financial crisis that we're in. If someone just wiped out the debt, never paid all these bad debts back, it means a financial collapse. It means the economy's over, and that's what it means for this king to pay back this to forgive this guy his debt. This king is acting crazy, and that's the craziness of the gospel. It's the foolishness of the cross that we see there, and this, it runs through all of the parables. And if we don't see the person acting a little bit nutty, then we don't see the cross and we don't see the gospel.
Is it because, as you said just a moment ago, that if we want God to have his dignity, then these parables really have to be about us serving God, what we do for him rather than what he does for us, because it's undignified that God would do something to serve us?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. So then it must be about, and if you just, and I mean, that's true too, Todd, if you just have a law-based theology, if the main thing that the scriptures are doing is giving us instructions on how to live a good life, then the parables are going to fit into that hermeneutic as well. They're just going to be pieces of advice or wisdom, something like this. But the scriptures are delivering to us Jesus and his word of forgiveness, his absolution. And so we expect, when we read the scriptures, especially when we read the parables, that's what we would find.
Gary in New Jersey emails us. He says this: even though a sermon is not a parable, I notice that people will often focus on things that have nothing to do with the main point of the sermon. I'm sure you've had this experience, Pastor Wolfmiller.
Now, are you talking about listening to sermons or my own sermons there, Tom?
Let's say listening to sermons.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's true with the parables, too. There's always a point of comparison the old theologians and Bible teachers would talk about in the parables, so that we don't want to get distracted by the little minutiae there. For example, like I was mentioning in the parable, the unmerciful servant, we don't want to get caught up on the fact that the king then requires the servant to go and sell his wife and his children and all his goods, and as if there's some sort of secret meeting in there. But we want to stick with the main point that Jesus is delivering there and try to stay focused on the center, which will be the Lord's law and gospel.
Is it a one-size-fits-all thing? What I noticed in dealing with the parables over the span of my pastoral ministry is that there are some that I thought I understood that years later I realize I don't, and then there are parts of some that are impenetrable, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they're tough. I mean, this is maybe the point. I was in this article, I was telling a story about, I used to, when I was in high school and college, I worked for this adventure travel company, and we'd go to Australia and down to Fiji, and I spent a couple summers in this really remote village in Fiji, and there was no electricity or no water, running water, anything. It was real, real rustic, and they had a town crier. I don't know what the real name was, but it was a, it was like the secretary of the town council, and every morning he would go around kind of chanting the news of the day. And I remember one time we were laying there, on the straw mat, and me and another guy on staff, and then a number of students. And one of the students says, "What's he saying?" And the staff guy next to me says, "Well, he's telling everyone that they have to build new outhouses and plant turnips for the next harvest season." And I couldn't help but busting up because he had no idea what he was saying. He was just making stuff up. And these high schoolers were so impressed about his knowledge of Fijian. I get the feeling that that's how a lot of sermons are. The guys are just kind of standing up there. They don't have any idea what Jesus is saying, and so they're just kind of making stuff up. But we don't want to do that. I mean, it is tough. We want to sit and listen to the parables and listen to what Jesus is saying and understand the rule of faith, the creed, and make sure that our understandings of the parables line up with these things.
A couple more questions. I've noticed along with a tendency for pastors especially to try and turn parables to their own purposes. They try and apply them too keenly to the particularities of their congregation's life. They kind of leave the text behind. Sometimes a tendency also to parabolize perfectly good, ordinary, straightforward speech on the part of Jesus or events in his life.
Yeah, so that everything becomes... This is one of the tricks that the dispensationalists use, is that they'll allegorize the history, and they'll make history out of the allegories or the parables. And it's one of these tricks that you can then start to squeeze in your doctrine where you want to. But that's a good point. I mean, we want to always be well aware of the context and of the genre that the scriptures are speaking to, so that Jesus will alert us when he's telling a parable. He'll say, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then we get on our parable ears, and we're listening for the for his parable language and all of this sort of thing. But then sometimes he'll just tell a story or a history, or we'll have it in the narrative of the gospel, and we just take it for what it is. It's not like the history of the Old Testament or the history of the life of Jesus or the history of the church somehow needs to be allegorized to make a difference. I mean, what we read when we read that stuff is God's great love for us that has caused him to come down and spread his name among men so that he would suffer for us and give us forgiveness. I mean, we don't need to make it anything more than it is, because it's already the most wonderful thing in the world.
Finally then, what is the key, if there is one, to truly understanding the language of the kingdom that Jesus speaks in when he is telling these parables?
Well, the key is Jesus himself. I mean, the kingdom of heaven, to have a kingdom, you have to have a king. And this is precisely who the Lord Jesus is. He's not a king with an earthly kingdom, like he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." But he does come with the reign of heavenly truth. He does come with the reign of the forgiveness of all sins. He comes with the reign of the cross and his blood and his mercy and forgiveness. And so when we hear the parables of the kingdom, we are hearing the words of the Lord Jesus who died for us so that we might live in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. That's the key to the parables. The key to the kingdom is the King Jesus who has died for our sins.
And the ones that don't make sense to us now or boggle the mind now, will we one day understand them when we stand before the key himself, the one who originally told these marvelous stories?
Oh, yeah, isn't that wonderful? Because the parables are given to us now by faith. By faith we have the truth of the kingdom that's there. But in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, we will have all of the things that Jesus promises in the parables. We'll have them by sight. I mean, we'll stand before his face, we'll see the King in glory, and we'll rejoice in being his, in the radiance of his glory for all eternity. So this is the most marvelous hope, is that now we see dimly, but then we will see face to face, and we will know as fully as even now we're known. And that's what awaits for all of us who are baptized into the kingdom of heaven.
You know, I think I got a little taste of it a couple weeks ago. You and I were driving through the mountains in Colorado from Denver to Breckenridge, just as the aspens were beginning to change, these beautiful veins of gold coming down those dark green mountains. And there I was in the radiant presence of none other than Brian Wolfmiller. It was like a foretaste for me. It really was.
Oh, I hope heaven's better than that. Remember, Revelation 22, we will see Jesus face to face, and that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, in any case, it was nice to see you, to meet your wife and your kids, and to spend a couple hours in the car with you.
Yeah, you too, Todd. It was fantastic, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon. Maybe we'll have four children with us next time. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A couple weeks, and it's on the way. So
the way that Pastor Brian Wolfmiller packs a van, he has no room for any more children. He's going to have to leave a couple coolers behind, or perhaps his wife. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Todd.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio program called Table Talk, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled The Language of the Parables, Why Jesus? Folks, we'll post a link on the on-demand page of our website to this great youth magazine called Higher Things. Our website issue, ztc.org. Click on demand. You'll find that link. Going into the weekend, today they call Wednesday hump day. I don't know why, because Thursday seems more to me like the downhill slope toward the weekend. But going into the weekend, I want you to remember something, and it's probably not too late to go to our website issue, ztc.org. Click the promote page, and when you get there, copy and paste and email the Issues Etc. promotional blurb for your church's bulletin this Sunday. Just email it to the church secretary. Say, please include this in the bulletin. It's all there. It's updated every week, and you can find it at issuesetc.org. Click promote. It's a short paragraph. Changes every week. All of the topics that we're talking about here on Issues Etc. When we come back, we'll talk about, we'll listen to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Very interesting stuff straight ahead.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Nancy Keep, Kurt Schultz, Joanne Dickey, Michael Hill, Jackie Tebby, Robert Dickey, Elaine Graff, Bill Anke, Roger Worthing, and Dee Linneberry. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor John Pless, on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Indeed, it is a treasury of scripture, catechism, prayers, hymnody, and devotional readings cast within the calendar of the Christian year to assist the believer to pray without ceasing.
A Christ-centered, cross-focused family devotional from Concordia Publishing House. Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Holy Spirit works through God's people. 40 Days for Life, going on right now, is an organized effort to spend the time fasting and praying for an end to abortion. In addition, pro-life volunteers keep a constant peaceful vigil at abortion mills in communities across the nation. During the first 2 weeks, over 100 babies have been saved from abortion. There may be countless others we don't know about. Planned Parenthood is feeling the pressure. One director of this abortion kingpin sent out an email calling these wonderful Christian people harassing extremists. The pregnant women who are leaving abortion mills with babies in their wombs and smiles on their faces would disagree. For more details on 40 Days for Life, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.